Can someone tell me what we talked about this morning? What was this morning's sermon on in general? In general, very general. Need. We talked about Palm Sunday, what happened on Palm Sunday. And we made it very clear that the Lord was entering Jerusalem. And I'll give you a little bit more condensed than this morning, okay? And then we'll look at some of the scriptures as well. But the Lord was heading to Jerusalem. He was heading there for what feast? Do y'all remember? Passover. And that was a celebration of when the children of Israel left Egypt. Remember the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians? And God said, you know, you take the blood and put it on the side post and the doorpost above. And the death angel, if you will pass over you. And all the firstborn of the Egyptians died, but those of the Hebrew children, they lived. And that was the last straw. And finally, Pharaoh said, get where you want to go. And then, of course, he changed his mind there at the Red Sea. But this is a continuation of that. And basically, pilgrims would come from all over the region, all over the region of Judea and everywhere around, come from the area outlying toward Jerusalem. And it says they went up to Jerusalem because they're talking about an elevation. They were approaching Jerusalem from the east. And the Lord said, all right, two disciples. It doesn't tell us which two. But it says you go and find a donkey, and you go and bring that donkey for me to ride on. And if they ask why you're calling or getting that donkey, to say the Lord has need of it. And so they went and did that, went to Bethany, Bethphage, and that area where those villages, some of them call it, something I read called it the suburbs of Jerusalem, a mile and a half to a couple miles away from Jerusalem. So the two disciples went to get the donkey. Matthew's gospel said there was a donkey and then a colt of a donkey or a foal. And so they started to loose it. The owner said, hey, what are you doing? You know, as anyone would do, it's kind of like someone, you look out your driveway and your car's disappearing. Hey, what are you doing with my car? And they said, the Lord has need of him. And basically allowed him to go. And this morning we talked about the key word there, as you have in your outline, was need. Need found in verse 31 and 34. And we talked about, you know, usually we speak, I've preached messages on that passage about need, and it's kind of like how the Lord needs us in a general way. But this morning we tried to be a little bit more specific. It wasn't just that he needs you, but he needs the gifts that he's given to you. And like, for instance, he didn't say, okay, owners, come on, come with us. He's like, we need to use your donkey, and it's colt. And he may need to use our time, talent, treasure, and testimony. Now, throughout the years, I've remembered those T's. There's not too many things I remember real good, but I remember those very well. And it pretty much summarizes the Christian life. And I hope that through this morning's message, if God is challenging you to give more time or more treasure or more testimony or more, I got them mixed up, didn't I? Time, talent, treasure, testimony, any more of that than what you're given, hopefully you listen to him and you'll follow that. So this morning's topic was need. Tonight, we're going to talk about praise. Because after they got the donkey and then the colt, and they were probably tied together, they put their garments, remember the disciples put their garments, the outer garments, on top of the colt. And then Jesus got on top of that. It was a sign of worship and honor to him. And then as he traveled along, many people took their outer garment off and stuck it on in the dirt so that the donkey or the colt with the Lord on it could go over on their clothes. And it says that some people took branches. I think it's John's gospel in particular says palm branches and cut them off and laid them in front as a sign of honor. Now we know that a colt or a donkey was a sign of a lowly or humble entrance, but yet he was presenting himself as king. And as they did that, the people around him, and remember there's a whole multitude going to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, a whole multitude of them started praising the Lord. Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. You know, hey, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and saying things such as that. The Pharisees didn't like that. The religious leaders, because Jesus was rocking their world. I mean, it's kind of hard to fathom how those who were supposed to be the most spiritual were the most cold and hard-hearted toward the Messiah. But they said, now, hey, you make these people be quiet. And Jesus, as I said this morning, gave a classic answer. Basically, if they hold their peace and they don't start praising me or keep praising me, the rocks are actually going to cry out. So then we go on a little bit further and how the Lord sees Jerusalem and weeps over the city of Jerusalem. But the second word we're looking at tonight is praise. And we're going to read just a little bit of this scripture here, the particular part that deals with praise, so we'll get a better picture of our mind. I summarized it for you. But it says, verse 35, let's start at verse 35. It says, and they brought him to Jesus, that is the colt and the donkey. And they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, that's also on the east side of the city of Jerusalem, the whole multitude of the disciples, notice it says, began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit tonight's message to you. Use it to speak to our hearts to draw us closer to you, I pray. Fill me with your spirit, and I pray that your word will come forth with power. And Lord, draw us closer to you. And if you want me to say it, that I'll say it. If you don't want me to say it, that I won't. But Lord, just take control completely of this message tonight. We pray that in everything your name will be honored and glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Title of the message, the series is, I didn't really know it was going to be much of a series, but it's going to be a little bit of a series. I'll probably cover one point tonight and maybe a point or two on Wednesday, actually. Four lessons from Palm Sunday. Of course, this morning I've already talked about need. The second one is praise. Praise. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, praise. If you notice in verse 37, as I read, and it says, the whole multitude of the disciples. Now, they got excited. They started to rejoice, get happy. You know, some of you have stories of these people that used to get in church and praise the Lord and run around the church. Some of y'all remember, have recollections of people like that. Well, these people were on a mission to get to Jerusalem for the Passover anyway. And they were singing a lot of the Psalms. I believe they call them Psalms of Descent, I believe is what they call it. I may have that backwards. I was going to look that up in particular. But there's some Psalms in particular that people felt as they looked at these Psalms. These are the ones they sang as they were going to Jerusalem for various feasts and festivals. And as they were doing that, it says they began to rejoice. I don't know about you, but being around Jesus would cause me to rejoice too. And the power and the humility and all that was going on there. And it says, they began to rejoice and praise God with what? A little tiny itsy bitsy little Mickey Mouse voice, right? It says with a loud voice. So can you imagine the multitudes praising God? And why did they do that? It says in that next phrase, for all the mighty works that they had seen. Let me ask you, have y'all seen the Lord do any mighty works? Now, I would have loved to have been here during Jesus' earthly ministry, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't that have been cool? Now, if you was a Jew, it probably wasn't the best time in your history because you were still under Roman oppression. But to be able to sit under the ministry of Jesus and to hear him teach and preach and heal people and bring people back to life and all that. And these people say, hey, we're praising the Lord with a loud voice, it says, for all the mighty works that they had seen. Now, if you know Jesus, you've seen God do one major mighty work in your life. You know, you can say whatever you want to, but salvation is a miracle. You become a new creature in Christ. Basically, your goals, your ambitions, all your insides, if you will, change. All your goals in life and the things that you thought you might accomplish changes because God is now your master. God is now your savior, and things change. And so you've seen some mighty works. But even beyond salvation, have you seen God do some mighty works in your life? Have you prayed for people that are sick, and guess what? God healed them, right? And I might say that I forgot to mention to the whole church, but John and Marcia and Jamie are all sick. I mentioned it in Sunday school, but I didn't mention it to the whole church. But praying for them, if you would. But, you know, we have on Wednesday nights typically, and even Sunday mornings, we have a lot of people to pray for, right? We pray for their salvation sometimes. We pray for their physical ailments. We pray for God to help us in ministries like the Easter egg hunt. And that went really well, right? And I'm confident some people are going to get saved. So we've seen God. Would you agree that we've seen God do some big things? These people started to praise God with a loud voice because of what they had seen. And it said, verse 38, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." You see, Jesus was presenting himself as king to the nation of Israel, to the Jews. Now, overall, they rejected that. And some of these, as I said this morning, probably were truly in line with this. They probably understood that this is the Messiah. But some of them may have just been kind of going along with the crowd, because there's always some of those, right? But they started to praise him for being king and coming in the name of the Lord. And it said, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." You know, the other Gospels record, I believe all three of the other Gospels record, that they also said Hosanna. And sometimes we say words and we don't know exactly what they mean, but you know, Hosanna means save us, we pray. Save us, we pray. And in that is a petition and also praise to the Lord. So they're praising God. And listen to Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. See if this sounds a little bit about what they're saying or a whole lot like what they're saying. It says, "Save now." Now, isn't that Hosanna? Save now is what it means. Or save us, we pray. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Verse 26. "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." So what they're saying is pretty close to what's recorded in Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. You know, there's also other forms of worship, at least, in this passage. You know, honor. What did the disciples do? They put their garments. What did the people do? They put their garments down. What did other people do? They put down branches. All praising the Lord. So their lips were going, they were rejoicing, there was a spring in their step, there was a bunch of them, there was a loud voice, and they were saying, praising God and saying, "Save now, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So they were praising him in several different ways. I'm thankful for this example. But what can we learn? You know, we have these Pharisees. What was their response? You would have hoped that they'd have said, "Well, let's join in. This must be the Messiah." But they were hard-hearted. And they said, "Oh, come on now." Now, let me tell you, probably if you come to church and you decide, you know, I'm going to sing loud, there might be some people at church look over to you and say, "Hey, can you turn it down just a little bit?" Especially if you might be off key just a wee little bit. They might turn over and say that to you. But you know what? Nothing should hinder us from praising the Lord. I mean, he is worthy of our praise, right? So when we come to church, and we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about praise here in just a moment, but we have seen God do so many things, we shouldn't let anything stop us from praising the Lord. You know, even when things come up we don't understand, should we still praise the Lord? The old devil might say, "You know what? You're going through a difficult time right now. You just need to shut up. Just quit praising the Lord, because he's not very good to you, is he?" The devil might whisper those lies in your ears. But you know what? We should not let anything hinder us from praising the Lord. Again, I like in a huge way. I've actually preached a message before. Don't let a rock take your place. Don't let a rock take your place. Because he expects us to praise his name. He is worthy of our praise, and we have that responsibility. Now, ultimately, in church is a good place to praise the Lord. Y'all agree? When we sing those songs up in the choir, when we sing, what are we doing? We're praising the Lord. When we give a testimony, what are we doing? We're praising the Lord. But you know, it really ought not stop there. Our praise of God. Now here we have a picture of praise. Loud praise. Praise in spite of opposition, if you will. Praise because of what they had seen. And I did a little bit of digging. Praise. It's used, that word is used in the KJV 248 times. 248 times. And praises, the plural, that's used 29 times. In the Psalms alone, the word praise is used 160 times. Do you kind of get the idea that we ought to be doing something and praising the Lord? Go look at several other verses that talk about praise. Of course, here's an example we can look at and say, okay, yeah, we're supposed to praise God. We're supposed to praise his name for all the things that he has done for us in spite of other people may trying to stop us or circumstances shut us up. For instance, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. In this area of praise, notice what it says about praise. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Now, we think of sacrifice as something we're giving up, right? I mean, we think, you know, I'm going to sacrifice my money. I'm going to sacrifice something that I have for the Lord. But, you know, one of the things that we can offer up to the Lord, just like those Old Testament sacrifices, you know what that is? Our praise. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. When? That's the New Testament. When? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You know, anywhere we go in Clarksburg, we got to be praising the Lord. You know, even before people that may not know the Lord, have you noticed you can put in some good little praise lines? Like, boy, isn't it a beautiful day that the good Lord gave us today? Now, what are you doing? You're praising the Lord. You're giving credit to the God who is responsible for all of those good things, right? So, it's considered a sacrifice in Hebrews 13, 15. Just like something you'd come and lay on the altar, our praise to God ought to be that way. Is it kind of warm in here? Whew. Yeah, you look like you're sweating out there a little bit. Not too many people have nodded off. That's good, but I'm kind of warm. Hebrews, the sacrifice of praise. Look at Psalm 22 and verse 3. Psalm 22 and verse 3. You probably heard the expression that God inhabits the praise of his people. Have you heard that expression? Now, as best I can tell, that exact expression is not found in Scripture. Okay? But here, in principle, it's mentioned. Notice, it says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. So that's directed toward Israel here in the Psalm. Of course, Psalm was the songbook or the hymn book of the Hebrews. But he's saying, you know what? When you praise God, I'm right there. I'm going to inhabit. I'm going to be with you when you praise God. You know, I'm convinced that a lot of times if we would praise God the way we should, we would probably feel the presence of God around us more and be encouraged a whole lot more. Y'all agree with that? Also, look at chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. We're looking at praise. We're looking at four lessons from Palm Sunday, and this one is the lesson of praise. We've looked at what they did and what an example that was of praise to the Lord for all the things that they had seen the Lord do. But here's some other exhortations to praise. In Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, notice what it says. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. How much? It sounds like we need to get into this praise thing. If you could only see, keep that verse up there if you would. But if you could only see what I see sometimes from the platform when we're singing songs, I'm honestly not meaning to be too mean or anything, because I know we got a lot of things in our brain and sometimes we're distracted. But I'm telling you, and I'm not necessarily talking about anybody even here, but I've seen some people when we're singing, it's like they're mad at somebody. I mean, we're up here singing, praise the Lord, and they're like, almost. They're almost, I'm not sure, maybe I did something to make some of them mad. They're almost glaring at the preacher. It seems like I'm like, we're praising God. As best I can tell, when we come to church, we ought to be all into it. Seriously. You know, what ought to be happening, really, what ought to be happening when we sing? Now, I know we're not huge in number on our evening services, but in the morning when we have 50, 60 people here, let me tell you, we ought to be making a whole lot more noise for Jesus. Not fake or phony, but I mean, we should really, when we're singing these old songs about amazing grace and how great they are, we ought to be singing just like these people did with a loud voice. We ought to be singing because we're meaning it with our whole heart. Does that make sense? I think so many times we come and we're just like, I'm just glad to be here. And I'm glad that you're here. And I've been in that boat too. But really, we ought to understand that we're worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord. It's not to be heard. It's not to be seen. It's simply to bring praise and worship to our Lord. And as we've already looked at, we have a lot to praise and worship Him for. As we've already looked at, it's almost like bringing an offering to the altar up here. It's like, I'm going to offer my praise to God, right? And as we've already looked at it, it's like when God says, when you praise me, I'm going to be right there in the midst of it. And then this verse, I'll praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. It's really not, it's not like we have to put our heads together and say, now what, if you come up with anything why we should praise God, or can you think of anything good that He's done lately? And you know, we have to put our heads together, our little pea brains, and come up. I mean, God, every single thing that you have that's good comes from God. We ought not have to put our brain to work. It's just like everything good comes from Him. So you know what? I'm going to sing. I'm going to praise. I'm going to testify with my whole heart. And I don't care really what anybody else thinks. God's going to know that I'm engaged in this. It's amazing to me. I like sports. I like sports. And when your boys play in sports and you go to a sporting event, believe me, you get into it. Because we've gone to some basketball games with the same school where the boys played. We've enjoyed it. We've good job. Yeah, good shot. You know, whatever. But it's a whole different ball game. Because we're not as invested in that, if you will. Invested into that game because our boys aren't playing. But you know what? When we praise God, we ought to be into it. We ought to be praising the Lord from our heart for all the things that He has done. Does that make sense? We're not just spectators. You know, we're not just come in and say, "Well, I'm gonna let them sing, and they're good singers, so I'm gonna let them do." We ought to be engaged. Seriously, when we come to church, when we're in our quiet time, when we sing in the car, I want you to sing in the car so loud and so animated that people are going, what in the world? What drug are they on? On the Jesus drug. All right, next verse we're going to look at is Psalm 22:22. We've already looked at this example of praise. We've looked at Hebrews. It talks about a sacrifice of praise. We looked at Psalm 22:3, that God is in the midst of our praise. We looked at Psalm 9:1-2, that we're supposed to worship and praise the Lord with our whole heart. Now, Psalm 22:22, notice this. This is really interesting. I like this. Now, this is not, at this point, the church is not, has not happened. It's not Acts 2 yet. It's not New Testament church. But they talk about a congregation. Listen to this. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now, can you take this principle and apply it to the New Testament church? Because Tim is my brother, and I see sisters in Christ, family of the Lord here as we gather together. And it says, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Will I praise thee. You know, some people say, I can't really sing. I've noticed that about you, Teresa. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I've not noticed that, Teresa. But the point is not our perfection or our quality or our giftedness. The idea is it's all about the Lord. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. That's why the Bible can say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? But it says in the midst of the congregation. You know, some young guys sometimes, it's not cool to sing. It's just not cool. So while the congregation is singing, even though I know Jesus, I'm just going to sit here and just kind of look macho. And I remember I went to one event of Promise Keepers in Atlanta, Georgia. It was, you know, a men's movement where we went down there to the Atlanta. It was one of the big stadiums in Atlanta. I'm not exactly sure which one it is now because they've changed and they've tore some down. And I believe it was the same stadium where we saw Billy Graham one time. But when we went down there, they had a Promise Keeper, and we're talking thousands and thousands of men were gathered together. And I remember, I think that was the first time that I saw the T-shirt that said, Real Men Sing. Real Men Sing. And boy, let me tell you, when you got thousands of men singing some of these hymns that we sing, like How Great Thou Art, and it was like, whoa, because you got surround sound because of the stadium. I mean, that's amazing. And I know we won't have surround sound, and I know we don't have thousands of people, but really, we ought to be giving it our best. Seriously. I know Connie can't sing, so I'm talking about something that Connie can't do, and it bugs you not being able to sing, doesn't it? It's the same way with me. When my voice is not very good or something and I can't sing a lot, it really annoys me because I want to sing. It's almost like, man, this feels weird. I can't. And that's the way it ought to be. Because in the midst of the congregation, when we're gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to be letting her rip for Jesus. In our testimony and in our singing and even among the world when we get the opportunity, we ought to be praising God all that we can. One more reference out of Psalm 34, verse 1. Again, there's 160 times in the Psalms that the word praise is used. Notice this Psalm, I really like the way this is phrased. It says, I will bless the Lord, in other words, praise the Lord, when? At all times. Now, is it true that there's times that we feel more like praising God than others? Yeah. It's easier to praise God when everything's going good. But when we hit a wall, so to speak, we hit a trial, a problem, a discouragement, it may be hard. But the psalmist has made up their mind, and I'm not so sure that we need to make up our mind. I'm going to praise God anyway. In that movie, Facing the Giants. Did y'all ever see that movie? It's a football movie. It's one of my favorite movies. I know that they made up their mind. Their coach made up their mind. It said, basically, I may paraphrase it a little bit wrong, but if we lose, we're going to praise the Lord. If we win, we're still going to praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. Whether we win, whether we lose, we're still going to praise the Lord. And in our lives, there's a principle too. Whether things go good or things go bad, is God still God? Absolutely. If things go good or things go bad, is God still in control? Absolutely. If things go good or things go bad, is God still going to work it around and massage it around so that it turns out for good? Absolutely. So in every one of those situations, I will bless the Lord at all times. That ought to be our mantra. That ought to be our goal in life. I'm going to praise God all the time. Now, you know, I'm not talking about some false, you know, you come in and, you know, things have been bad and you've lost a loved one, you're not feeling good, and you got a sore throat and all that. And the preacher says, I got to give it all, so here we go, amazing. Now, I'm not talking about a phony thing, but I'm really saying that really our God is so good. Our God doesn't change. So why should our praise change? the object of our worship, the object of our praise never changes. We go through changes. But since we're praising the Lord, really our praise shouldn't. It's up today because everything's going good. Oh, I had a bad day. I didn't praise God much today. Oh, it's good again. All right. Yeah, I got some good news. It shouldn't be that way, should it? Really, the more we get to know the Lord and how good it is, how good He is, our praise ought to really be going up. Don't you figure? Don't you imagine? It says that we will praise Him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Wow. Continually. Again, I know a lot of what we're saying, we're automatically thinking, singing in church, testimony time in church, among God's people. But really, if we took the praise that we should have for God and took it outside these walls, and that we allowed the praise that we have for God and how good God is, it actually probably would pop out on our face every once in a while in one of those things called a smile, right? It would pop up every once in a while. And when we go out and around, and if we had one of those on our face because we're praising God and we're so enamored with who God is and what He's done for me, it couldn't help but spill out just a little bit. What was it Pastor Bowler in Chattanooga would say? He said something about Brother Saucer would get so overflowed Brother Cup would get so overfilled that Brother Saucer would get a little bit of blessing too. And in that's kind of in a sense, that's what should happen. We should be so into the praise of God that we just don't turn it off when we go to the store or to the bank or wherever we might have to go or when we're on the phone. You know, these people on the phone, it's not their fault that they don't know how to fix the problem sometimes. It's not their fault that they can't speak English. Because it seems like everybody you call is from the Philippines. And I've picked up on one word they teach every one of these telemarketers or these people. The customer service is a better terminology. Perfect. They say that word a lot. You know, like, okay, what seems to be your problem? Well, my computer's not. Well, perfect. We'll take care of that. You know, they say in there. But really, I mean, shouldn't our praise of God even come through in our conversations over the phone? I mean, again, they don't need another grumpy, grouchy customer. And I realize that things can go so wrong. What really gets me to today is you cannot get a person. With some of these companies, I don't think anybody works for them anymore. Because you have to go through a computer and chat with someone. If I want to chat with someone, I want to pick up my phone and talk to them. You know what I mean? So I'm from that school. Enough said about that, but the point is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Talking about praise. What started us off was that these people, they were really into their praise. I mean, really, they were praising God. It says, with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. We're in the same boat. I'm not there when Jesus was riding the colt toward Jerusalem to present Himself as king to the nation of Israel or to the Jewish people. I was not there, but I know how good my Jesus is. And I know all the good things that I have in life, it's because of Him. And this good thing I got to look forward to called heaven is because of Him. And this forever with Him, living forever in a place called heaven where I'm going to have a mansion and you're going to have a mansion, that's because of Him. So guess what? He is worthy of our praise. We looked at several verses tonight. Hebrews talks about a sacrifice of praise. You know, we talk about bringing our sacrifice. One of the sacrifices that we can lay at the altar before Jesus is our praise. He's pleased with that. He wants to hear His people praise His name. Look at Psalm 22, verse 3. If I'm understanding that right, the principle is when we praise the Lord, He's right there in the midst. He enjoys that so much. He said, you know what? I'm going to show myself strong right there in the midst of these people. Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, talks about praising the Lord with our whole heart. Our whole heart. Not just kind of, the preacher expects me to sing, so I'm going to move my lips. Yeah, watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. Who was it that told Jason that's what you sing? Aubrey said down at Twin Rivers, if you don't know the words and you got to fake it, just say watermelon, watermelon, watermelon with your lips and people will think you're singing. So we ought not be singing, Larry, watermelon, watermelon. We ought to be really into it and understanding the word. These hymns that we sing, we don't sing by chance. I mean, these songs have been sung by churches, solid churches, for centuries. You know, we ought to be saying, let's look at what this says about my Lord here. And as we sing it, and I know we can be put on remote, I can be put on remote just as easy as you can. Sometimes we know these songs, we just start, but we really need to pay attention and praise Him. Because the Lord, and we're supposed to praise Him with our whole heart. Psalm 22:22, we talked about, in the midst of the congregation will I praise Thee. And this is a congregation of a local New Testament church. We ought to praise the Lord. Seriously, if we had any windows to open up, I'd open them up and tell y'all to sing loud enough for our neighbors to hear us. You know, that'd be good, wouldn't it? And then lastly, we just looked at Psalm 34:1. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not just in church, but really we should have an attitude of praise and gratitude everywhere we go. Four lessons from Palm Sunday. Tonight we looked at praise. I don't know if you're familiar with the song, Let's Just Praise the Lord. It's in our hymn book, Let's Just Praise the Lord. But the chorus goes like this. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Now, I'd never really thought about this so much, but it says, let's just praise the Lord. I have a real specific challenge for you. You ready for this? You know, I figure all of us would say, yeah, you know what? I could praise God more. And you know what, preacher? I could probably be a little bit more engaged when we praise God as a church. And you would probably say, you know, preacher, I could probably take that praise of the Lord with me more continually when I'm out in the world. And people could see that in my life and even hear it in my words. And all of these, we probably would say, you know, I could do a little bit better in that area. But I have a real, real specific challenge for you. Are you ready for this? Are you sure that you're ready for this? I'm not ready for this. I can't find my notes. Okay, here. I know what I was going to say, but I want to make sure I got it right. This week, I want to challenge you to do something. Okay? Are you ready? This week, for the next 7 days, I want to challenge you to start your day off with 5 minutes of praise to the Lord. Okay? 5 minutes of praise. Let me explain what I mean by that. Maybe while you're still in bed, but you're awake. I mean, it could be a whole lot longer. You say, preacher, I want to give more. Well, praise the Lord, do it. But I'm going to encourage you. The first 5 waking minutes of your day, I want you to take a little bit of time and just thank and praise God for all the good things that you have in life. Would you do that? I'm gonna ask you specifically before God if you commit to do that. Now God realizes we got feeble brains and we might forget, but if you forget, make it up the next day. But for one solid week, all right, all the way through next Sunday, the first waking 5 minutes of your day, would you just simply spend it? And 5 minutes, that's short. That's not doesn't take very long at all. Just praising God. And if you want to, you say, well, preacher, I hop out. I hate laying in bed when I'm awake. Okay, you hop up and you start singing a praise song to God. Or in some way, praise the Lord for the first 5 minutes of your day. Let me ask you this question. Number one, do you think that God would be happy with that? Number two, do you think that God would bless your day for spending 5 minutes starting your day with praising the Lord? I figure so. Do you think you might have a little bit better attitude to face that day?